534, Section 2. The 1920s Economy and the Causes of the Great Depression. As you read, look for Causes of the Great Depression, Terms, Boll Weevil, Stock Market, Great Depression, Purchasing Power, Surplus. Georgia's economy had prospered during the Great War, but that soon came to an end. Cotton remained king, but both production of the crop and demand for it went down. Georgia's major industry, textiles, suffered when cotton suffered. With many farmers and workers already struggling to make ends meet, these developments were devastating. The problems of farmers in the South and West and the problems of workers throughout the country did not receive the attention they deserved from policymakers in the 1920s. But in 1929, the entire country plunged into the worst economic downturn in its history. The problems Georgia and other parts of the South were already experiencing were felt by the entire nation. Agriculture. In 1919, cotton had sold for 35 cents a pound. Within a year, the price had dropped to around 17 cents per pound. That meant a farmer's income was half what it had been only a year before. Corn prices did not fall quite as far, but they were down as well. Those who were barely getting by, including many sharecroppers, were hard hit. Farmers at the time did not know that they were about to face 20 years of low prices for their products. Low prices were not the only problem. In the mid-1910s, a little beetle called the boll weevil arrived in Georgia. It had first appeared in Texas in the 1890s and had gradually migrated east through Louisiana, Mississippi, and Alabama into Georgia. The 1/4-inch long bug lived by eating the buds, or bolls, of cotton, where the fibers are formed. In the winter, boll weevils lived in the ground of the fields, ready to come back when farmers tried to plant in the spring. By 1919 to 1920, the boll weevil had begun to inflict serious damage on Georgia's cotton crop. And it kept getting worse. By 1923, Georgia was producing less than 600,000 bales a year, when earlier it had produced over 1,750,000 bales. In the 1920s, strong insecticides to kill pests like the boll weevil had not yet been developed. All attempts to come up with a formula for a poison that would get rid of the weevil without destroying the cotton failed. Farmers even tried burning their cotton fields at the end of the year, but that did not kill the bugs either. Eventually, the boll weevil forced farmers in Georgia and other parts of the South to plant other crops. To make matters worse, from 1925 to 1927, Georgia suffered through a drought, which resulted in a poor harvest. Georgia crops withered and died in the fields from thirst. Today, irrigation systems pump water from underground and sprinkle it over growing crops. Farmers of the 1920s did not yet have such sophisticated ways of bringing water to crops. With all these problems, many Georgia farmers were in a depression long before the stock market crashed in 1929. Farmers reacted to their worsening economic situation in several ways. Some farmers who owned their own land sold off part of it to pay their debts. Over time, many sold all their land. Then they had to become sharecroppers. Sharecroppers did not have the option of selling land to pay debt because they owned no land. When the land did not produce, some landowners forced sharecroppers off the land. Eventually, thousands of Georgians moved away from farms. Many rural counties lost population and did not regain it. As farms declined, cities and towns gained population. Some farmers began to grow other crops, including garden vegetables like beans, peas, sweet potatoes, and squash. Pecan production was up in the 1920s. Others tried to raise more animals, especially hogs. Milk and eggs became more important farm products. The boll weevil had done what Henry Grady and others had tried to do, convince Southern, including Georgian, farmers to produce less cotton and experiment with other crops and products. Industry. White farmers who moved to towns and cities often tried to get work in the factories, especially the textile mills. Textiles continued to be the most important industry in Georgia. Mill work remained segregated. Whites performed the work on machinery. Blacks worked at janitorial tasks, so the number of jobs for African Americans was limited. Moving into mill villages and neighborhoods in towns like Columbus, Macon, and Augusta, former farmers adjusted to working inside and on a time schedule. They lived in factory-owned housing for which they paid rent from the wages they earned. They usually bought goods they needed from the factory-owned store. Coming from a rural background, most were suspicious of outsiders, so union organizers did not have much success in the South. The fact that Southern workers were paid less and had few unions even attracted companies from the North to come South. That might have helped the economy more if the demand for cotton had not gone down. Getting work in mills became increasingly difficult. Machinery improved and required fewer human hands to operate it. Changing fashions required less cloth. Then a fabric called rayon was invented in Europe. In the mid-1920s, rayon went into large-scale production in the United States. Cotton had a new competitor. All of these circumstances hurt the cotton farmers and mill workers. Other industries fared better. The naval stores industry continued to produce tar and turpentine. In fact, Georgia led the nation in those products. Marble and granite also were extracted from the Georgia earth for sale. Cottonseed oil and food processing also did well. By the end of the decade, industry employed about 15% of Georgians. But most industry, like agriculture, did not prosper as it had during the war. One industry that did prosper in the 1920s was the beverage industry, and in particular, Coca-Cola. Rising sugar prices had caused problems for the business during the war. In 1919, the Candlers sold the company to a group of investors that included businessman Ernest Woodruff. In 1923, his young son Robert became president of the company. Robert Woodruff led the company in an expansion of sales throughout the 20s. The six-bottle carton was introduced to make buying several easy. Advertising began to stress Coke as the pause that refreshes and associated the drink in ads with living a good life. In the 1920s and 1930s, Coca-Cola bottling plants opened in Europe, Central America, and other areas of the world. In the 1920s, another soft drink company, Share Cola, began to produce knee-high fruit-flavored soft drinks in Columbus. Columbus was also the home of the Tom Huston Peanut Company. In 1925, Tom Huston began selling packages of roasted peanuts throughout the country. He had invented a machine to shell the nuts and another to toast them. His business grew quickly, but Tom lost the business in the Depression, and the bank took it over. Today, it is a giant in the food industry known as Tom's Foods. Georgia also continued to draw northern tourists, but that industry now had major competition from the state's southern neighbor, Florida. However, after a Category 4 hurricane hit Miami in 1926, real estate in Florida took a major economic downturn. Augusta had a direct connection with the Florida bust. In the early 1920s, Miami developer Henry Stoltz announced his plans to build a grand luxury hotel on land that had belonged to the old Fruitland Nursery owned by the Berkmans family. The original plantation house of its first owner, Dennis Redman, still sat on the property. Stoltz planned to tear it down to make room for his hotel. Augustans had been quick to begin buying up land around the proposed development. The 1926 Miami hurricane destroyed Stoltz's Miami property. His plans in Augusta collapsed, and so did the Augusta land boom. That is not the end of the story, however. A few years later, the successful and famous young Georgia golfer, Bobby Jones, created his dream golf course on that property for a national golf club. The plans included using the old plantation house as the clubhouse. Now, that clubhouse at the Augusta National Golf Club is probably the most famous in the world. Millions of viewers see it on their televisions when they watch the Masters Golf Tournament every April. The economy of the 1920s had its bright spots in Georgia, but the underlying problems in the cotton fields and textile mills affected so many Georgians that the economy was unstable. As conditions worsened, many Georgians were discouraged. For some of the poorest, the final collapse was barely noticeable. The beginnings of the Great Depression. When Republican Herbert Hoover took the oath as president in March 1929, he believed that America was on the path to continued economic growth and an end to poverty. Only a few months later, on Tuesday, October 29, 1929, the stock market crashed. The stock market is the place where shares of ownership, called stock, in corporations are bought and sold. The crash meant that the value of the shares of companies that investors owned dropped dramatically. Stock values had gone down the Thursday before, but wealthy J.P. Morgan Jr. and other investors had begun to buy stocks to try to restore people's confidence. They did not want everybody trying to sell. Their action was only temporary. By Tuesday, many small investors, nervous that their stocks would not hold their value, began to sell again. When everyone wanted to sell and no one wanted to buy, the value of stocks continued to fall. As people panicked, stock prices dropped even more. By the end of the day, many Americans had lost all they had invested. Those who had borrowed money to buy their stocks could not pay back the money they owed, causing banks to have problems. Many of the small investors who had put their savings in the market lost everything. Speculation in the stock market also caused problems. Throughout the 1920s, more and more Americans, not just the wealthy, had decided to buy stocks. The economy seemed to be doing well, with people buying all the new consumer goods. In 1928 and early 1929, the value of stocks had risen especially high, so people expected the value of their shares of stock to rise even more. The stock market, however, was unregulated by laws or rules, so a purchaser could not actually know how sound an investment was. Some investments were quite risky, and purchasing them was a gamble. Some investors actually borrowed money to buy stocks, making it even more of a risk. While the stock market crash was a disaster, it was just one of the factors that led to the economic crisis that came to be known as the Great Depression. Even though the 1920s seemed like a period of great prosperity, underlying problems made the economy unstable. The prosperity had not been spread out among the population. Half of the population of the country was barely getting by, and the situation had gotten worse for them during the 1920s. The amount of the national income going to the wealthy, however, had increased. Two groups in the country that were not doing well were farmers and factory workers. As we have seen, the majority of Georgians fell into these two categories. When farmers and workers did not earn enough money to buy goods that the nation's factories and farms were producing, they had very little purchasing power. The farms and factories, however, continued to produce more than people could buy. This is known as overproduction. When a particular industry has a surplus of goods, more goods on the market than consumers are buying, one strategy to sell more is to reduce the price. Another response to overproduction is to produce less until the surplus is gone. When businesses produce less, they need fewer workers, and people lose their jobs. Unemployed people cannot buy as many goods, which meant even greater surpluses. Both of these happened in the 1920s. In some industries, Job losses had also been caused when machines were built to do jobs once performed by human beings. During the 1920s, there were several industries, sometimes referred to as sick industries, that were struggling with these problems long before the rest of industry declined. One was Georgia's major industry, textiles. Georgia's textile workers already made low wages and had little purchasing power. Farmers were also not doing well. You have seen that Georgia cotton farmers struggled with the boll weevil, less demand for cotton, and low prices. As a 1928 song said, 11-cent cotton, 40-cent meat, how in the world can a poor man eat? More and more small farmers lost their land, and sharecroppers were barely surviving. To compete, farmers really needed to buy the new farm machinery, but they often could not afford it. Without the purchasing power of farmers and workers, two large segments of the population, the economy could not keep growing. The economy was further hurt by problems in other countries, including those who still had debts from World War I. The U.S. policy of high tariffs, taxes on imported goods, had hurt trade from other countries. When Americans cut back on their production, they did not buy as many supplies from other countries, which in turn hurt the economies of those countries. Those countries could thus not buy American goods. After the stock market crash, the economy began to spiral down. Banks, too, had invested in stocks. When the market crashed, these banks lost a lot of money. Many Americans could not afford to buy back loans they had taken out from banks. In the South, after the bad harvest of 1930, many rural banks began to fail, close. Throughout the country, ordinary Americans who had money in bank accounts tried to get it out. In those days, there was no insurance for people's deposits. When people deposit money in a bank, the bank uses the money for loans to others. Only a small amount is held in cash reserves in the bank. When people were unable to pay back their loans and others were taking their money out of their accounts, some banks lost all their reserves. The more people took their money out of banks, the less money banks had. Some banks had to shut their doors. When banks went bankrupt and closed, those people who had not yet withdrawn their money lost it. In 1929, over 600 banks failed. In 1930, over 1,300 did. Some Americans who lived through the Depression never totally trusted banks again. In 1930, Mother Nature also brought another problem to farmers, another drought. In the plains states, such as Kansas and Oklahoma, the lack of rain was so severe that the topsoil dried up and blew away. The entire region became known as the Dust Bowl. Many poverty-stricken farmers left their homes to settle in other parts of the country, especially along the West Coast. The South also suffered from the drought during those years. As the economy declined, factories continued to cut back on production and to lay off more people. By 1932, the production of America's industries was less than half of what it had been before the crash. Millions of people lost their jobs, and the unemployment rate rose steadily, reaching 25% by 1932. Even those lucky enough to keep jobs often found their wages cut. Income dropped over 50% by 1930. Investment in business also declined because people feared they would lose whatever money they invested. The agricultural sector of the economy was affected by the high unemployment rate in industry. Because people could not afford to buy, there was less demand. Less demand led to lower prices. As prices for their crops and other products decreased, farmers tried to keep their income at the same level by producing more. As the supply of crops on the market increased, prices went down even further. Some farmers reached the point that they were actually losing money because the cost of growing and shipping their goods cost more than they could get back when they sold them. By the early 1930s, many Americans were losing hope. They did not see any signs of improvement, and they feared the future. Even those who had jobs felt the uncertainty, afraid that they could lose them at any time. Many wondered what they would do if the downward spiral continued. This atmosphere led many to look for leadership in a new direction. In 1933, that new direction began. Reviewing the section, 1. Define stock market, Great Depression, purchasing power, surplus. 2. What Georgia industries had problems in the 1920s? 3. What happened on October 29, 1929? Page 541, Doing Business in Georgia. Georgia Pacific. The 1920s produced one of Georgia's leading examples of entrepreneurship in the United States, the company that eventually became Georgia Pacific. An entrepreneur is a person who starts a business and assumes all of the risks. In 1927, Owen R. Cheatham was listed in the City Directory of Augusta as a clerk. In his next listing, he was president of the Georgia Hardwood Lumber Company, a wholesale company that he founded that year. Cheatham was a smart businessman and an excellent salesman. According to an article in Time magazine, he had learned the lumber business working for several small companies. He began Georgia Hardwood with money he had saved and some that he borrowed. The company was successful from the start. In spite of the Great Depression, Cheatham was able to expand his company in the 1930s. By 1938, he had bought 5 lumber yards in the South. The war years were also good to Georgia Hardwood. It became the leading supplier of wood to the U.S. Army, and the company was cited for outstanding service in the war effort. In 1947, Georgia Pacific expanded to the West Coast, buying a plywood plant in Bellingham, Washington. The following year, Georgia Hardwood Company became Georgia Pacific Plywood and Lumber Company. By 1949, its stock was sold on the New York Stock Exchange. With the post-war boom in building construction, the wood business was very profitable. Georgia Pacific was a leader in plywood development, including the innovation of using southern pine trees for the product. Wanting to make sure of a steady supply of timber, the company acquired the C.D. Johnson Lumber Corporation with its large forest areas in the Northwest. In the early 1950s, the company moved its headquarters to the Northwest, settling by 1954 in Portland, Oregon. In 1956, the name changed once more, this time to Georgia Pacific. Throughout the 1950s and the 1960s, the company continued to diversify into other forest products, including paper, resins and adhesives, corrugated paper boxes, and gypsum wallboard. Each diversification resulted in the purchase of additional plants and mills. In 1968, the company's sales went over the $1 billion mark for the first time. In 1986, the company expanded into high-quality bath tissue by launching the Angel Soft brand. In 1982, the company moved its headquarters back to Georgia, and its building became part of Atlanta Skyline. In 1997, its timber business was spun off as a separate subsidiary and later merged with Plum Creek Timber Company, taking Georgia Pacific out of the timber business. It remained the number one tissue producer and one of the top companies in the paper industry. In 2005, Koch Industries acquired Georgia Pacific, and it is now an independent unit of that giant company. Georgia Pacific is an amazing story of business growth for a company that began on Milledgeville Road in Augusta. Page 542, Chapter Review, Chapter Summary. Section 1, Modernization and Change. People began to buy more automobiles because they were less expensive and people could buy them on the installment plan. William Hartsfield helped to establish an airfield in Atlanta and worked to make Atlanta an aviation center in the South. During the 1920s, women began to work outside the home more, their clothing and hairstyles changed, and they began to vote. African Americans continued to move north in search of jobs and a less segregated society. WSB was Georgia's first radio station in 1922. After World War I, the Ku Klux Klan became stronger and spread out of the South into all states. Its targets included Catholics, Jews, immigrants, as well as African Americans. Section 2. The 1920s Economy and the Causes of the Great Depression. Cotton prices fell drastically after World War I, and the boll weevil caused serious damage to Georgia's cotton crop. Most of Georgia's industries faced hard times during the 1920s, particularly agriculture and textiles. The stock market crashed on October 29, 1929, which marked the beginning of the Great Depression. Many Georgians were already suffering through a depression. Causes of the Great Depression included agricultural and industrial overproduction, too much buying on credit, speculation in the stock market, inequity in income distribution, high tariffs, high unemployment, and lack of protection for bank deposits. Pages 542 and 543 contain a review of Chapter 21.